Greetings, friends. Today's host of our Share Your Mission program is Dr. Wynn Henderson. Dr. Henderson is a retired medical doctor with over 20 years of clinical experience. He is a number one national best-selling author and or co-author of 38 books, including Freedom from Addiction, The 12 Steps, Doctors Don't Lie, The 4 Questions, and The Deposition. Also, Share Your Mission, which is a continuing book series based on this radio program. Dr. Henderson is the founder of The Recovery Group. It offers Christian-based counseling to individuals and families with addictive behaviors, and for those seeking their higher purpose in life is the Destiny House. It is a spiritual retreat located in the breathtaking mountains of western North Carolina. The Destiny House provides an inspiring opportunity for individuals to find out why they were created and how to discover their mission in life. As a thank you for listening today, the doctor would like to give you a free book. So, have your pen and paper ready, and we will give you a toll-free number in just a moment to call for your free copy. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the program.
Hello again. This is Dr. Wynn Henderson of Share Your Mission to remind you about the 4 most important questions in life. They are, who am I? Where did I come from? What am I doing here, and where am I going when I'm done? This program deals primarily with the 3rd question, what am I doing here? I believe that each of us has a specific mission to accomplish, a destiny, if you will, and the ultimate secret to finding lasting happiness in this life lies in discovering that destiny and then in pursuing it. My mission? To help you find yours. Equally important is learning to love yourself and fully appreciate your value. This is so important because until you fully appreciate and understand your relationship to God, other people, and the world, you will never be happy, content, or have peace of mind. I believe the fastest way to gain this understanding is in answering the 4 questions. My book, Freedom from Addiction, will help you find out what your mission is so that you too can be truly happy and successful. I provide individual Christian-based counseling on issues of addiction worldwide by telephone. To receive your free book, please call me at 877-787-3127. That's a toll-free number. Again, 877-787-3127. Visit my website, freedomfromaddiction.info, for more information. And now, this week's presentation of Share Your Mission.
Survey showing that Americans have forgotten to be here now, which was the mantra of the 1960s. Which promoted happiness and inner peace. Instead, these days, more and more people are living with fear and stress. Now, our author today, Jude Bijou, has surveyed 1,000 participants to determine which emotions dominate their attitudes in everyday life. And she found out that more than 7 out of 10, or somewhere around 71.4%, reported that they're preoccupied with the past or the future at least half of the time. And among those, more than 16% said that they almost always were. So, focusing on the what-ifs, or dreading the next shoe that's going to drop, are classic symptoms of fear, and living with fear on a daily basis can only lead to chronic stress, and as you know, chronic stress can lead to disease and death. So, we're going to talk to Jude today and see what her take is on how this all fits together. Hi, Jude, how are you doing?
I'm just doing fine. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, great. Okay, you are a psychotherapist. And you've written this book. Did the reason for writing it come out of your psychotherapy practice or something else?
Well, it's really a combination of things. I started off with a scientific background but didn't find the answers that I was looking for there because I was looking for happiness. And so it caused me to go to the East and explore meditation and the Eastern philosophy. And then I became a psychotherapist and have spent 30 years counseling individuals and couples and groups and so on. And all of those elements had to come together, that science, that spiritual value, and practical, all in the realm of emotions. And that's what created, as it came together and came together, attitude reconstruction was created.
Can you give us a quick little book review of how your book's set up?
Absolutely. The premise of attitude reconstruction is that all of our bad attitudes, all of our problems, stem back to unexpressed sadness, anger, and fear. Those three emotions. And if we realize that emotions are nothing but emotion, energy in motion, then if we express those emotions constructively but physically, those energies will move out of our body and we can free ourselves from the sadness, anger, and fear, and experience more of three other emotions, which is joy, love, and peace.
And your book does that, teaches people how to do that?
That's right, because there's three parts in the book. The first part is just an overview explaining how what each emotion goes with, how our thinking is tied to our emotions, and our communication is tied to our emotions, our actions are tied to our emotions. So it gives an overview at first. And then it goes into what I call our five tools. We have five tools that we can use to change how we react in a given situation. We can have an emotional reaction. We can think about what's going on. We can use our intuition. And we can talk about what's going on. Or we can act. We can behave and respond to what's going on. So the second part of the book really goes into depth into each of our of those five tools that we all possess and tells the reader how you can use each of those tools to create more of the emotions of joy, love, and peace.
I see. We all know people either in our family or at work or out in the community that are drama queens or drama kings. Is there a relationship between that type of behavior where they're all the time getting into stressful type situations and what you talk about in your book?
Absolutely. There's two things. One is I want to just say is that the last part of the book takes what I call 33 of our bad attitudes, the most common ones that I found in my private practice, and really explains how to use our tools to move those bad attitudes into good attitudes. And this is one of the attitudes you're talking about, the drama queen, the drama king. And that is related to the emotion of fear, like stress. That means that instead of staying specific to what really happened, oh, I almost got in a car accident. That's the specific. Instead of staying specific, we go and make all these huge extrapolations. Oh, my gosh, drivers are so terrible, and I almost was going to be in the hospital, and I would have lost so much work, and all these terrible things would have happened. That's what we do because we're not in the present. We're being controlled by the fear rather than by dealing with what's really going on right now.
You talk about six ways to decrease stress. I'm sure that there are more than six, but let's talk about your six. Shiver away your fear. How do you do that?
Well, it's very much because that's the first tool we can use. We can use our emotions to decrease the amount of stress that we experience. So I go back to what does a dog do? What does go back to this natural approach of what do animals do when they're afraid? They shake and shiver. You can see it, the dog at the vet, and it's, you know, quivering behind the owner's chair, and it's, you know, maybe, cold, just shivering. And that's what we need to do, the same way when our body goes into shock. Now, that's extreme fear for the body, and the body shakes and shivers. And that's what we need to do when we feel tense, when we feel fear, because the physiology is that with fear, it's that agitation. We can feel it, you know, in our bodies, because it's just, as I said, it's just energy. And if we'll allow ourselves to move it out, to shake and shiver all through the body, you know, up our back and, whoo, and out the legs and in the arms, if we'll just move that energy out for just a minute or two, even though it sounds so silly, that instead of tightening up, if we let that energy out, then that fear energy, which is behind that stress, will start to dissipate.
Well, I tried this last week when I read your book, but I wasn't particularly fearful. How do you get yourself to shiver?
Well, you can. One way is to put on music and just do it to that, so we don't feel quite so self-conscious. But basically, you fake it until you make it a little bit. So it's just, you can think of something scary or like chalk up of a blackboard, and you just go, woo! So I'm hemming it up a little bit, but I'm just letting my arms and my legs be loosey-goosey rather than tight.
Okay. So
I can shake one leg out and shake it other hard, you know, like I've got something gooky, or maybe like I put the hand, by the garbage disposal and came up with all the stuff that's been sitting there. Ooh! And so it just, we just shiver it out, or think of something scary you saw in a movie, and just practice, just shiver that out, and you'll find that it feels really, really good.
Well, I think that if you were shivering, that you would have a lot of difficulty being in the presence of worry and concern and stress, because everything is looking toward that action that you're doing.
Well, you shiver first, and because it just takes like 30 seconds of good shivering, and then you'll find that your attention, rather than being that deer in the headlights, is back to the present. Now you can see what the problem is, what the situation is, because you've moved that energy. You're no longer so tight that your body freezes up and your mind freezes up. So there's more flexibility by just moving that energy out of the body.
Well, Jude, you said that the second thing was don't pile up your worries.
Yes. What we have a tendency to do is what I say, lump and jump. So rather than saying, I've got to stay specific, what are the tasks I need to do? What really do I need to accomplish in the next hour or in the next day? So that's what we really want to do, is keep our focus narrowed in to the concrete, to what's going on right now, because then we can deal with it. The word that I use is to stay specific, because we use specifics in cooking, in architecture, in medicine, in business, in traffic. Everything is really controlled by specific things, but nobody told us we needed to think in specifics and talk in specifics. So just by dialing our focus more into what's really needing attention right now, we can reduce that stress of all of those things impinging on us at one time that only increase the stress, only increase the feeling of anxiety, those inner feelings that we have that are associated with that fear, that anxiety.
Well, that kind of moves into the next point that you made, which is make a detailed task list.
Yes. Yes, we have a tendency to procrastinate and put things off and then make the situation a lot worse, rather than going, okay, I know I feel all this agitation in my body. What are the projects I really need to be doing? What are all of the things? What are the things that my boss gave me to do that feel like too much, plus my own responsibilities, or I'm getting ready for a trip? What are the things that I need to do? If we write them out, then they lose their power, that grip that they have over us, where we can just feel so overwhelmed. So if I look at and say, okay, there's really only 8 things that I need to do. Great. What do I do first? And while I'm thinking of that one and taking my intention and putting it on that one and staying in the present with that one, I'll handle all those others in the future. I'll handle those others in the future. Right now, I am just going to do this one task.
Well, I know that as we get older, and I've seen this in myself, that more and more I can't remember a whole lot of things. So I always make lists and scratch off when I've done it, and that brings it back to my consciousness. Otherwise, I probably would be lost. You say don't go it alone.
Yes, we have a tendency to have that mentality that I've got to do it all myself. I've got so much to do and nobody can help me. Now, that's just not true. We can think of a family, you know, gee, I've got all these things getting ready for, I can have my son take care of that. I don't need to make sure, and even if he doesn't do it exactly how I would do it, it's still going to be just fine. So we can delegate, whether it's to a family member or to a colleague or a neighbor, a friend, whatever. We don't have to go it alone. People are really willing to help. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything, but it means we take some discrimination and go, which of these things can I do and which do I need to delegate?
Well, I think that people who have obsessive compulsive personalities do that a lot more. They feel like things can only be done one way, and they do it that way, and they can't see delegation of things because that makes them very anxious. You said be kind to yourself.
Yes. Yes. We have a tendency to think that, that every little mistake we make, all the little things that we don't complete, that they say something about ourselves. So what I also found in the survey was that something like 59% of people are, at a given time, are saying negative things about themselves. So if you're walking down the street, 6 out of 10 people are trashing themselves or comparing themselves to others, not being gentle and kind with themselves. Now, that doesn't help us. That doesn't help us deal. It doesn't help us be present, and it doesn't help us really deal with whatever task that we need to do, whether it's walking down the street or putting together a proposal. So we really need to just start to hear all of those bad messages about ourselves that we took on very, very young, and just start to turn them around instead of going, oh, I blew it again. You could say, I did the best I could. I did the best I could. Something that reinforces that we're on our team, not that we're that critic that's judging ourselves so poorly. That never helps get things accomplished.
Well, that kind of ties into the work that I do in addiction. One of the largest addiction problems with respect to percentages probably is negative thinking. And there's all different kinds of negative thinking. But if you find yourself trashing yourself and it's on a recurring basis and you can't do anything about it, then you might very well be addicted to negative thinking. And the good thing about it is that there is a cure for addiction. And my book, Freedom from Addiction, will tell you about that if you'd like to get a copy of it. We're talking with Jude Bijou today on attitude reconstruction. And Jude, would you tell our audience how to get a copy of your book?
Yes. The book is available through Amazon or through my website as an e-book or in paperback. And my website is the same as the name of the book, and that's Attitude Reconstruction. So at attitudereconstruction.com, people could purchase a book, but they can also take a little survey, the survey that you talked about right at the beginning, and they can determine which of our 12 core attitudes are holding them back from feeling more joy, love, and peace. So you not only can find out what your bad attitudes are, and then go to another page and find out solutions, but you can also figure out which of the three destructive emotions, or the sadness, the anger, or the fear, is really inhibiting you from feeling your best self. So for what we're talking about, stress today, so that's fear, too much to do and too much going on and I feel agitated. But and some people live in that kind of state, where other people more come from sadness, that they feel down, they feel heavy, they don't feel, like we say, they don't feel good about ourselves. And other people really come from a stance of anger. That's their more dominant emotion. And everything's not okay, and they have a tendency to be critical and blaming. So the survey on the website can help a person determine what's not working for them and then offer some practical tips using those five tools that I talked about to shift so that you can lead a better life.
Well, Jude, you know that fear is one of the biggest causes of all kinds of bad things happening to the people in the world. Probably every war that was ever fought was based in someone's fear or some country's fear. And I remember when I was talking to Deepak Chopra the last time, and he said that, in his opinion, except for surgical type problems and this, that most medical illnesses resulted from anger. And I thought that that was a really unusual thing to say, but as I think about it more and more, I can see how anger and stress can be the underlying cause of most illnesses. So everybody that's talking about how to get rid of fear, anger, and those negative thoughts is doing a good job, and including the attitude reconstruction, which you talk about. Now, we didn't get to the sixth thing, a way to decrease stress, and that was get into the now. So tell us why you don't want to be in the past or the future.
Well, when we're in the past or the future, we're missing out on what's really going on. We don't have our attention fully in the present. We can't really enjoy the beautiful sunset or the moment with our family, because our mind is way in the past or way in the future. What do I do next, and what's going on, and what's for dinner? Rather than what we need to do, where the joy is, where our feelings of love are, and those peaceful feelings just occur when we're fully in the present. So we want to do activities that can bring us back to the now. And I go back to this thing, and I would really encourage your listeners to give it a try. It sounds so weird, but to do that shaking and shivering and trembling and shuddering, to just be like a leaf on a tree, to try that out, that's really the fastest way to move that energy. But some people go, oh, I never could do that. It seems too embarrassing, whatever. There's other ways. Maybe you can take some deep breaths or do some jumping jacks or take a short walk. Whatever you do, plan to have a, go for a hike, figure out what you need to do that most centers you, that's constructive, and do that on a regular basis. Because when you have that centeredness, when you are more in the now, then your day goes much more easier. Then you feel much better about what you're doing.
Well, I think it's very true that the brain can only concentrate on one thing at a time. And if you have a negative thought, negative emotion or actions, and you concentrate on shivering or one of the other things for a while, your brain is tied up with that, and the other things have to get out. So I think that's good advice on if you have any of those negative emotions, do something else that will help it. You give five tools for solving any problem, a step-by-step process of dealing with negativity and challenging situations. And those are emotions, thoughts, intuition, speech, and actions. We don't have time to talk about all of them, but tell us a little bit about the third tool, intuition.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all have intuition. It's made out to be that, you know, I have to hear this booming voice within myself that says, you know, now this is going to happen, or now turn left, whatever. But really, we have intuition. Intuition is really that inner knowing. It's what we know when we're quiet. It's not, I think of intuition as like about a foot away from our brain. It's closer to our heart. And it's like we all know, we know what we want for dinner or whether to buy that piece of clothing. We just don't listen to what we know. Now, a lot of times we don't listen because there's so much static. Our mind is taking over and all of those thoughts are going, oh, you shouldn't buy it. You shouldn't spend any money. Or, oh, go and buy it. Go and buy it. Your mind or your emotions, oh, I've got to do that real quick. I only have a half an hour to do shopping. Those kind of things, our emotions and our thoughts, override hearing what we know within when we're just quiet. So I say, just take that minute to pause. Take a deep breath or, again, shiver for just a minute, and then ask yourself, it's like, what's true for me? What's true for me? You can do it on simple things. Do I need that cupcake for dessert? And listen inside, not our head, I got to have it now. But it's like, do I need that? Does my body need that? And if we pause and listen, we'll get an answer, we'll be there. We know it doesn't have to be in word sentence form, but we can get a good sense about what an appropriate thing to do is. So we just have to pause, ask our question, and then listen for the answer, and then obey.
In my practice forever, it seems like now, I found that low self-esteem is a direct underlying cause of addictive problems. And so I want to ask you, how does one rewire unhelpful thought patterns, especially when they deal with your own self-esteem and your own poor self-image? Got any ideas or tips on how you can do that?
Absolutely. I think that the simplest way to do that is to first identify, write down on a piece of paper all of those thoughts, because they're very repetitious, of what you tell yourself over and over. I blew it. Nobody likes me. I'm unlovable. I'm not okay. There's something wrong with me. Write down your particular version of those thoughts that you tell yourself. So that then you go, okay, these are what I picked up a long time ago. And I say, and it relates to sadness. I don't feel good about myself. But these are my thoughts that are not supporting my good self-esteem. Then I say, find contradictions that are true for each of those. So if I go, there's something wrong with me, if that's one of my destructive thoughts, then flip to the other side and go, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. I'm fine, just as I am. So you really go down your list of destructive thoughts and find contradictions that are true. And the book, Attitude Reconstruction, gives you some options. I call them reliable truths. So there's maybe 15 or so. There's hundreds of reliable truths, but 15 real common ones that really contradict most of our old thinking.
Jude, that's really good advice, and I think that everybody ought to get a copy of your book so that they can get the full impact of that. Our guest today has been Jude Bishu, and the book is called Attitude Reconstruction. Jude, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you. It's just been my pleasure.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Remember, this program is dedicated to helping you, our listeners, find true personal happiness in your life. I believe the fastest way to accomplish that goal is to find out what your mission is and then to pursue it. So now until next time, may God bless you and lead you to the contentment, happiness, and peace of mind that you really deserve. Until we meet again, remember, happiness comes from pursuing your mission.